Hallelujah. God is good. All the time. That's right, isn't it? All the time, God is good. So, busy week this week. We had, normally I try to have my message earlier in the week, and I was busy. I kind of knew where I was going to be going today from some of my daily devotions. The Lord spoke to me through some of those, and I wanted to wait this week until after Audrey's celebration, because I just felt that this is something that I should do. And had a lot of things I had to do Saturday morning. We had breakfast with my siblings Saturday morning, and then we went to the Heartland to be with Audrey's family and stuff during that. And so it was in the afternoon, probably towards evening, before I got to just sit down and spend some time with the Lord to get a message put together for today. And as I walked into the library and took my Bible laid it on the desk, the Lord just had me look over at the library shelf there, and I saw this cup of comfort. It's a devotional. I've never read it. I opened it up, and part of the lesson for today is in here. But I just thought, you know, how many times does the Lord comfort us? How many times of sadness do we have? And God comforts us. So this says it's a daily reminder of God's love and grace. And I can just tell you that we saw God's love in action yesterday over at Heartland. Andrew did the message yesterday, and I don't know how in the world he did that as a father for his daughter, but he did, and it was really, really a good time. It was just it was amazing. And I know after getting to know Terry and Becky how what makes Andrew like he is. His parents are just as awesome as Andrew and Rachel are, and so we got to see a lot of his extended family, and that was pretty cool yesterday. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll get started. Father, I thank you today for your love and mercy, for your grace, Father, that we have all the time. We don't have to wonder if we're being loved, because your word says that you are love. So, Father, I thank you for that. I pray, Lord, that I'll be able to convey your love to the body of Christ today, Lord, that they will understand a little better how much you love us, how much you care for us, and that you desire a love relationship with us. So, Father, as I share today, Lord, speak through me. Don't allow me to say anything on my own, but only what you will have me say today. And Lord, give us ears to hear what you're saying to the church today. In Jesus' name, amen. So, this, as I said, this little book was here, and it's talking about God's love. And we saw God's love yesterday at the calling hours there, or the celebration of life, whatever you want to call it. It was just an amazing time. So as I was doing my devotions this week, I'm going to add into this equation of God's love how he puts angels around us to take care of us. I'm going to go to that a little bit later, but I want to start out today with God's love. So let's begin today in 1 John chapter 4. 1 John 4 verses 7 to 19. First John 4. There we go. So this is in my NIV, it's entitled God's Love and Ours. It says, "Dear friends, let us love one another. For love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him." Excuse me. "This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us." So if we're in God's love, we'll be able to see God in one another. Be able to see God in the way we act towards one another. "We know that we live in him and he in us because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love that God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment, because in this world we are like him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. And we love because he first loved us." So that's the reason that we love one another, because of God's love in us. As the church figured out, or found out that God and Matt and Jess and I, as we found out that a daughter had passed, we gave them a gift from the church to help with their finances. Prayed about it for a while before we decided what to give. And this is, I just want to read this card that Andrew gave to Jesse and I. We were there working by the barn one afternoon, and he just showed up. He walked over and handed this to us. And it says, "Dear Open Arms Church, we wanted to thank you all for your outpouring generosity. We're overwhelmed by your support over the last years, it says. Throughout Audrey's health journey, words can simply not describe our hearts. Thank you for praying for Audrey and our family. We know the Lord is near to us. We have the peace that surpasses our understanding, and Audrey is now made whole and perfect. Peace and in perfect peace and love. We are thankful Audrey followed Jesus as her Lord and Savior, the most important decision we can make. We know the Lord doesn't give as the world does. One day all things will be made right. We look forward to the new heaven and the new earth. Until then, we pray we can walk in obedience, in spirit and truth, loving others and sharing the good news with love. The Taylors, Andrew, Rachel, Benjamin, Hannah, and Emma." And then that must have been Rachel that wrote that part. And then there's another part in a different handwriting. It says, "Speechless, or your generosity has poured over." And then Philippians 1:21, "To die is gain." Romans 8:28, in all things God works together for good. And then in 2 Corinthians 5:10, he says, "Looking forward to our eternal name bodies and family, Andrew, 12/1/2025. So thank you guys for all your prayers for the Andrew, for Taylor's family. They just appreciated it so much. And it's just awesome. You know, we've been helping them for a lot of years, a journey, by participating in the journey. They've given money to the Taylor family, and so you've helped through that as well as the times that we've been able to share financially with them. But they're most appreciative. And as I said, we were able to see the Lord's love yesterday in action as they shared about that journey and how how many lives it has touched. We don't realize how much our testimony means to others, how the way we act, I guess, is what I want to say. If with God's love, we have to be different than the world, and people see that, and so that's good. I want to just flip over to Ephesians. There's a couple verses here in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 10 that I'd like to read before I share with some of you some verses on the angels that are around. Ephesians 4, beginning with verse 4. There is one body, one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. Wait, I'm in the wrong chapter. Chapter 2 of Ephesians. I thought I was reading wrong there. So, chapter 2, verse 4. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. Even when we were dead in transgressions, it is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So now I want to share with you what I opened up and read in here when I was preparing our lesson for today. I know it was the Lord that opened it up here, because the title of this on January 13th says angels all around us. So when Lot still hesitated, the angel seized his hand. This is Genesis 19:16. The angel seized his hand and the hands of his wife and two daughters and rushed them to safety outside the city, for the Lord was merciful. One winter day, my children and I decided to build a snowman. The powdery snow kept falling apart in our gloved fingertips. Nevertheless, my son and I persevered, patting and pressing the icy flakes into balls. My daughter, less patient with the uncooperative material, made snow angels instead. The completed project looked laughable. Embedded in the snow and forming a barrier of sorts laid the shapes of several pixie-sized angels. So apparently her daughter was a little girl, and she was out making snow angels around as they were making a snowman. It says, our crumbly snowman stood in the midst of them, leaning like an exhausted soldier threatening to collapse on the battlefield. His pink milk cap eyes hung crookedly oblivious to the glistening angels all around. It made me reflect how God protects us in life. Our eyes, tired from daily stress and distractions, don't see that angels encamp around us. Like Lot, doubt and fear may mobilize us. Thankfully, we can count on God to act on our behalf. So, how many times do we have angels around us that we don't even know it? It's just as there, this picture that she painted here. The little daughter was around making the snow angels around while they were working on the snowman, and just made her realize that there's angels around helping us all the time. I want to go to Genesis 19, where it talks about Lot and what the angels did for them. So just if you would turn over to Genesis 19, we're going to read 15 through 22 this morning. There's a lot of instances in the Bible where angels were there to help them out. So we know that they're there to help us out as well. I've had friends who have seen angels. I have never myself. I still look forward to that day when I'll see an angel. When God lets me do that, that'd be awesome. So, 19, verse 15. With the coming of dawn. So you all know the story of Lot and his family and at Sodom and Gomorrah. So they were getting ready to destroy the city because there was so much corruption there. And I'm not reading the whole story. I'm just going to read how the angels took Lot and his family away. With the coming of dawn, the angels urged Lot, saying, "Hurry, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, or you will be swept away when the city is punished." When he hesitated, the men grasped his hand and the hands of his wife and his two daughters and led them safely out of the city, for the Lord was merciful to them. So if you want to read the account, these angels were actually, they came in the form of men, because the part that's leading up to this, they actually came and were talking to Lot and taking care of him. And I don't know that he knew they were angels, but they were. And this one verse. Now, some of the other translations says there that the angels took him by the hand, but mine says these two men took him by the hands. I just wanted to verify that difference there. So they grasped and led them to safety out of the city, for the Lord was merciful to them. As soon as they had brought them out, one of them said, "Flee for your lives, don't look back, and don't stop anywhere in the plain. Flee to the mountains, or you will be swept away." But Lot said to them, "No, Lord, my lords, please. Your servant has found favor in your eyes, and you have shown great kindness to me in sparing my life, but I can't flee to the mountains. This disaster will overtake me, and I will die. Look, here is a town near enough to run to, and it is small. Let me flee to it. It is very small, isn't it? Then my life will be spared." So the angel said to him, "Very well, I will grant this request too. I will not overthrow the town you speak of, but flee there quickly, because I cannot do anything until you reach it." And that is why the town was called Zoar, which means small. So there's an example of an angel taking care of Lot and his family. So in my dailies this week, I was reading in Daniel, so I want to go there to the account of Daniel in the lion's den. It's another just really good account of how the angels took care of Daniel. So that is in Daniel chapter 6. Let's begin in verse 16. Again, I'm not reading the whole account. It would take too long. You can read the whole thing if you'd like when you go home this afternoon. But we're going to start in verse 16 and just read down through 23. So the king gave the order, and they brought Daniel and threw him in to the lion's den. The king said to Daniel, "May your God, whom you serve, continually rescue you." So if you'll remember the story of Daniel, the king was very distraught when the rest of the leaders came to tell him that they had caught Daniel praying to somebody besides the image that he had set up. And so he, because their decrees stand forever, he said, he had to go through with it. But he didn't want to. He spent the night without sleeping and didn't even want to put him in the lion's den, but he did. But he told him, "May your God, whom you serve, continually rescue you." So a stone was brought, placed over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the rings of his nobles, so that Daniel's situation might not be changed. Then the king returned to his palace and spent the night without eating, without any entertainment being brought to him. He could not sleep. At the first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. When he came near the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice, "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions?" Daniel answered, "O king, live forever. My God sent his angel, and he shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me because I was found innocent in his sight. Nor have I ever done any wrong before you, O king." The king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted out from the den, no wound was found on him because he had trusted in his God. Hallelujah. Daniel had trusted in his God, but he sent an angel to shut the mouths of the lions so that they wouldn't eat him up and chew him up. So I get the picture when they threw someone in the lion's den, the lions attacked probably, but they didn't attack Daniel. He was able to stay in there all night with them without any harm at all because God sent his angel. The other example I want to use is in, you all know, Christmas time, I had to go to when the angel came to Mary. So I'm going to just read a little bit of that account before we close today. In Luke chapter 1, and verses, just a few verses there, 26 through 28. Luke chapter 1. 26. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God." So, I'm not going to read the whole account because possibly this will be part of the Christmas message that we have again this year. I'm not sure what Matt has in mind for that, so I'm going to stop there. I just wanted you to be aware that an angel came to Mary and told her, and she stayed there with her because of the fear that Mary had from it. She was troubled. And you can imagine if you're one of your virgin daughters got that kind of an announcement, what would you think? We'd probably have a little bit of a problem taking that to heart, being in favor of it. But she said, "Don't be afraid." The angel said, "Don't be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God." And then it goes on to tell her and stay with her. through that situation. So just remember this week as you go that there's angels around you. There's angels to help you when you're working, to help you whatever you need. God watches out for us because of his love. He loves us that much. So as you go this week, just remember to watch out for the ministering angels that are watching over us as they ministered to those in the Word of God that we can read about. There's a lot more examples than that. I knew I couldn't take time for all of them, but just picked a few of them out for us today. Continue to lift up the Taylor family, because it's going to be a sad time for a little while. So can just put them in your prayer journals and pray for them for several weeks or months, however long the Lord has you pray for them. Continue to do that. I will remind you, too, that Stan called me Saturday morning, I guess. He's back in the hospital again. I was in to see him yesterday. Not doing very well. He just... the last time he was in for just overnighter, they told him he had a spot on his heart, but he said yesterday they didn't find anything at all wrong with his heart. So he was sure something was wrong with his heart just because of the way how bad he's feeling. But he said there's nothing wrong with his heart. So I expect him to come back home today or tomorrow. He wasn't sure when the doctor would be in to see him to get him out of there. So pray for Stan as well. He just needs to be able to breathe again so he can come back home. So thank you.